Good evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 12th of March, 2017. Happy daylight saving time to you all. It's Sunday, and guess what? We stream live every Sunday night on our Facebook page between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are watching the live edition and you would like to call in and join us, add to the conversation, add to the flavor of the conversation, call that number down below, 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us. The handle is Citizen Kane. The email is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and I am joined by the lovely Shauna Nash, who could be reached via email at cherish@citizenkane.org. Shauna, it's daylight saving time.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's very dangerous.
I have to say, I woke up this morning, and I didn't even know what planet I was on. It's just so strange and bizarre, the feeling of just not being, I don't know, being planted. It's like I was floating. You wake up early all the time. What did you feel?
I felt gypped.
Did you wake up at...
I woke up with dread because tomorrow morning when I go to work, it's going to be dark again.
Yeah, just like
it was 2 months ago, and I'm going to lose my mind.
And right
just
now...
burst into tears.
right now, the sun is still out. I was, you know, last week I was actually locking chickens up before the show.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want them to be out and about doing their thing, so I'm going to have to remember to lock them up afterwards, which means I'm probably going to need to set an alarm on my phone for doing just that, unless I get Shauna to remind me.
Last thing I want
is for some predator to eat my chickens because I didn't lock them up like a dummy. Yeah. Horrible.
So I guess that those are the only beneficiaries of daylight savings time is dumb animals.
Dumb animals. Like us?
Yes, like us. We have...
getting in a wreck, having strokes, having heart problems.
Well, we have
problems.
Daylight savings time forced on us because the government, which sets it, believes we're dumb animals. So if we have more daylight outside later in the day, mm-hmm. then, you know, we'll pay our taxes sooner.
We'll work
buy more homes. And, you know, welcome more refugees or whatever. I don't know what they want from us anymore,
I think it's an old law that needs to go away. There are actually...
I think like 70s. Yeah. Jimmy freaking Carter.
I thought it was World War II. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a lot longer ago.
That's even more crazier then.
And it's supposed to be for the farmers, but it also is not good for farmers who are, you know, maybe for people who are tilling the earth, but the milking of the cows gets changed by an hour, and the cows have to readjust to our stupid laws. Poor cows.
I don't know how farmers knew how to farm until 70 years ago then.
There's always talk, but I think that one day really soon some New Hampshire legislator will put forth a bill to remove us from the system, and we could be like Arizona. However, I think that they won't do it unless Massachusetts does it, because they're like our...
It makes sense.
Yeah, they're a lot of folk on southern New Hampshire do work
mm-hmm.
in Taxachusetts. Yeah. So, what happened this week? Let's see. There was a PLD meeting.
Planning license development.
Yep, at yep. Keene. The big meme in Keene right now is the Economic Development Action Plan, and that it will solve all our problems. So we have high taxes. We have a graying community.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are retiring, and they're not being replaced fast enough. We have companies and employment agencies that are actually giving us the heads up.
We need...
If you guys can't get a handle on this, you wait a couple more years and something calamitous could happen. Like a big company might pick up roots and go somewhere else where they can actually get people to work for them. So it hasn't happened yet, but it's, you know, it's coming down the pike. So I think those are really the big ones are the grain community and the taxes. The burden is going up and up and up. The plan and I'm going to get it right from the horse's mouth, him saying it. The big, big plan from many of the city planners is if we can bring industry, big industry especially, that will lessen the tax burden. Does that make sense? It would also work if you were to just bring more people, but if you know more and more homes, more individuals, but then you would need a whole crap load of them versus like one big company.
It sounds like they want to exacerbate the problem. If the problem is that companies in Keene can't find employees to work at the wages and benefits that they're offering, and what they're offering right now isn't enough right now to draw people in, and they can go somewhere else. They can go to North Carolina or Florida, where people will work for those wages, and that's fine. I mean, you know, bringing more companies in doesn't sound like the problem's going to be worse. Like, instead of like
it's 10... It's going to exacerbate the problem.
Exacerbate, that is the word. We have like 10 employers in Keene that don't have enough people. Well, we just need to get 5 more employing businesses in Keene.
And then you have to house them. And then the level of services that those individuals are going to require, you're going to need more fire, you're going to need more medical.
Yeah, but if the population naturally grew, you would need that as well.
Correct.
If you had a baby boom or something, then you would still need to address that. But if it doesn't sound like they have both sides of the equation figured out.
That's all I'm saying. I think that they are looking at this the wrong way. At least they have identified that there is a problem, but the way that they're tackling it is just wrong. It's completely wrong. Let's go over the actual goals of this plan. We talked about it on a previous show, but Greenwald, Councillor Greenwald, who was the chair of this committee, lays down the principal goals behind this plan.
Big finding that came out of the whole process was that it's not just a 3-point or a 4-point. It's more like this whole swirling mass that has got to be accomplished pretty much all at once. We have got to grow and educate and retain our workforce. And to do that, we need to provide affordable housing and what we're calling, or what I called, entertainment opportunities. In order to get the workers, they have to have jobs.
Entertainment, by the way. The masses must be entertained, must provide the bread, must provide the circuses.
Well, if you're driving, you know, to Boston or to Northfield or Greenfield every weekend to have your raves and, you know, ride the carousel some more, then... makes sense.
Entertainment opportunities. In order to get the workers, they have to have jobs, which means that we have to go out and recruit. In order to get the businesses to come in, we need to simplify regulations and at the same time make everything more development friendly. So among the things that are being recommended is simplifying our regulatory process, rebranding the term code enforcement, because to me that has always struck me as a very negative term, to say the least.
Now we mentioned this on a previous episode as well. This is Orwellian. This is doublespeak, double talk. Actually changing the name of something to make it more fluffy, to make it more readily available.
To make it more friendly like it.
He's not actually talking about changing the nature of code enforcement. He's just changing the name. Now, if you were actually change the nature of what they actually do, which is drive around and ticket people.
Well, they don't ticket some homes.
Well, if you're...
Some people who own property in Keene and rent to people in Keene.
Oh, really?
Don't have any problem with code enforcement or development committee plan office or whatever. So, you know, I don't know what his issue is with code enforcement. That's all I got. That's all I'm going to do right now.
negative term.
I got the rent receipts.
Say the least. And I think the recommendation was something on the order of community development. We need to confront the increasing cost of property taxes and energy.
I got to go back to the code enforcement thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. People have mentioned, oh, the dude from code enforcement, he's such a jerk and all that. That isn't going to go away by rebranding. Okay. I mean, you could take Freekeen as an example. They have terrible brand or whatever because, you know, like one person does some wacky, rude, terrible thing, mm-hmm. and then the brand is tarnished. They change the brand, and that one terrible dude, who's probably moved on to Manchester by now, still behaves in that way. Doesn't matter what the branding is, it's going to get retarnished all over again. So people from code enforcement are, even in like just the tiniest personal, my interaction with someone from code enforcement wasn't about code enforcement at all. It was just their opinion of somebody who was beneath them. And it was just, this is a terrible person who should not be respected. That isn't going to change at all from changing the brand of code enforcement to code hugging or whatever he's going to do. They want to change.
Well, you will have to.
So the truth is going to come out.
Well, it'll take time. If there actually is changes that are made. So in order to actually rebrand code enforcement, you would actually have to remove regulations that they are imposing on the citizens of Keene.
They would have to get rid of the crazy stuff.
Like signage, like your sign is 4 inches too wide, or it's got blinking lights on it. And there's all kinds. I mean, go through the city ordinances and they're, you know, many, many pages to look through. And a part of this plan, by the way, is to actually, supposedly, to make the process easier.
Mm-hmm.
But the only real changes I'm hearing are putting all of the information on like one website, but not actually changing anything. All the codes, all the city ordinances will still be there. You're still going to have this community development guy, code enforcement, still going around ticketing people whenever he sees a gig, when the sign is too wide, or whenever you didn't build pour the concrete deep enough, or the walls aren't thick enough or insulated. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of things that they're going to gig you on. That's not going away.
Right.
Like you said, if they did make changes and they weren't so strict, which I don't see how that would work, it would still take many, many years under the new title for the people to forget the, you know, oh, that guy, he came and gigged me 15 years ago.
With that horrible attitude.
And I got hit with that $100 fee or whatever the,
I mean, in so
whatever
many,
the fees are.
In so many of my interactions with government and having to pay them fines and all that, it's the attitude of the people there that really will drive people up a wall way more than the ticket itself or the infraction or, okay, yeah, I used the wrong grade of paint for the sign that I made by hand and therefore I owe you like $20 or something. I don't know, some ticket. You know, it's not. So many times with other people I've seen, it's not the infraction itself. It's not the whole taxation is theft nearly as much. It is. The $20 is real. It could have gone to something important, like shoes or something. But it's the attitude of it. You owe us. You didn't, you know, you're a terrible person. You need to feel bad and genuflect as you pay this fine in the middle of the day, so you have to take off work.
Let me get back to Greenwald.
All right.
I need better switches.
We need to confront the increasing cost of property taxes and energy, which is discouraging the influx of new industry and also making it difficult for young individuals to want to live with us.
Did you catch that? I was thinking he was going to go right to live here, and then he's... to live with us. It's like, wow.
Well, you know, when you live in an apartment in Keene in a home that's landlord owned and, you know, you could have like 10 people in one apartment.
Young individuals to want to live with us. One of the major issues that needs to be dealt with is high-speed internet. We're never going to have a railroad coming into Keene. It's unlikely we're going to have an interstate highway, but we can have high-speed internet.
Okay, this is one of the other memes that's going around Keene
right
now.
What's Route 9? It goes to another state.
It goes to Vermont.
That's a thankfully a different state.
I think that when it turns into 101, or, yeah, it's not very friendly. It stops
that's no
and starts.
93,
it goes,
yeah,
it goes
okay.
through cities. It's not a fast road.
All right.
But no, this new meme is that we don't have internet capability. I think this is getting blown up out of proportion. There are some big companies here who do have high-speed internet. All the schools except the middle school.
Middle schoolers shouldn't have internet.
The courthouse, the library, the police department, and I think two big companies. So the big issue is, and they talk about this later in the video. And by the way, this is a 40-minute video. I'm not playing now, but I did upload it to Citizen Kane Facebook page. I definitely recommend it. There's a lot of good points. There's a lot of good.
Is it easy to follow what people are saying?
Yeah, you can follow.
About the level.
You can follow what's going on. And they do talk about the internet. And the real issue is they don't have high speed internet in downtown, on Main Street. Now, you could move to the location where the high speed internet is. It would require you to move away from downtown. So that there's that option. But they don't want that. They want everything downtown. It's beautiful.
How is downtown not having high-speed internet affecting businesses?
Big businesses who rely on having big bandwidth.
What business is going downtown? Like
gift shops, novelties.
I mean, the Works Bakeries, like corporate headquarters, is coming to downtown. It seems very blown out of proportion.
When they give these examples, they never say names. So I don't know what business it was a month or 2 months ago that wanted to be downtown. I think it would...
Dunkin' Donuts?
No, it was at the Colony Mill. Who moved out of the Colony Mill? You had Toadstool moved out.
Yep.
Who else? It was one of those businesses.
There's an antique store.
Anyways, they wanted to go downtown. The internet wasn't fast enough for them there, so they had to go move elsewhere. Anyways,
okay.
let's get back to this. So, yeah, a meme of the day. We need faster internet, and I think it's been blown out of proportion. And I think it's just one of those things politicians says to make it look like they're actually doing things.
They're modern.
And of course, there's that bill that would allow municipalities to bond for internet infrastructure. Right now, you can't, and that's where it's really leading, because these big companies it's cronyism. They want the handout. They want the handout from the city. They want the city to do it, paid for by us. That's what it really boils down to.
State highway, but we can have high-speed internet if we work with the regulatory bodies to encourage the availability.
And that's
I'm sure Rebecca.
That's the bill that I was talking about, which would allow cities and towns to bond out for the infrastructure, which currently they cannot do. And guess who's picking up the tab? We'll be picking up the tab.
You can speak a whole lot more knowledgeably than I, but I've just heard repeatedly, if industry wants to come to Keene, we have a great quality of life, but that only goes so far. We need the internet, and that's a major, major fact. And bottom line is, we need to constantly rebuke the perception, and the word is really very important, perception, that Keene is not friendly to economic growth and development.
Okay.
Perception.
That is the perception. He keeps saying perception, perception, perception. He's going to go ahead and he's going to step all over that because it's not a perception. It's real.
Thing is, I said this so many times to my boss at my last job, and I've said it to libertarians until I just stopped saying it. Perception is reality for a lot of things. And if the perception that Keene doesn't like economic development results in an economic development action plan, which seems pretty panicked, because he even said in the beginning of this clip, it's not one layer, 3 points of stuff. It's a whole swirl of everything at once that they need to do. Mm-hmm. Then it sounds like Keene, the perception has some meat to it. It's not just, you know, it's a perception. Well, the train is fine, I guess.
By the way, in your key words, that they need to do, the city needs to do. They need to do all these things to fix the problem. And if they just stopped, backed up a little bit and looked, they would realize they are the problem. If they would just get out of the way, the problem would fix itself. It would right itself. It might take a couple of years. There might be some pain and suffering, but the problem would fix itself.
Most of it would be pain and suffering for them.
For them, for Greenwald, with all his properties downtown.
Part of what we heard during the presentation is some of this goes back to the 1980s, or the 1970s even. I'm sure we've heard crazy stories about Ford Motor Company wanted to build a plant here in Keene in the 60s, but they shut them out.
What?
So, you know, whether that was true or not, I highly doubt it.
What, you don't know?
He wasn't here?
How can you make that comment? How can you use that example and you don't know what actually happened? They probably got shut out. Keene was probably like, we don't want you here. They're too big. There's too many. You'd be bringing too many riffraff, too many people. We don't have the homes to support you.
Cards are evil.
Because that was the mentality. Keene wanted to be a small little town, a little quaint little town with no main highways coming to us.
Well, it was in the 70s or 80s when Main Street was not drive through. It was, you know, pedestrian walkway.
So, you know, whether that was true or not, I highly doubt it. But there was a very sincere concern with the coming of a potential mall in the 80s. And probably that was a good concern, because if we had the mall, it probably would be an empty mall. But nonetheless, I got out into the development community that we...
Oh, no, he's absolutely right, but he's also back in the city planner's boots, where he gets to make the decision what comes, what goes, what survives. That's the problem. That is the underlying problem, that everyone wants to be a city planner and make the decisions of what they get to live next to, or what stores come to town, or if there's blinking lights on the sign or not.
Well, and when he's saying, like, oh, they wanted to build a mall, and then I immediately thought, oh, like Colony Mill, oh, like the Olive Garden at Monadnock Marketplace, it's empty and, you know, Borders. Yeah. I think Borders shut down before you even got here. It was on its way out when I moved here. And, you know, it's like, well, obviously a mall would have, you know, not worked out. It'd be empty right now. You don't know that. No. You don't know how successful it would have been. How there is nothing in Keene as far on the level of a mall. You know, it could have taken a totally different direction.
That's,
you know,
right.
Walmart might not have come because it would have been too, it would have changed the economic landscape. So it didn't make sense for Walmart. Walmart might have gone to Swansea or, you know, something else. But you have no idea. As obviously he has no idea what happened with Ford that he heard about this one time. Hmm. I thought he was in the community for his whole life or something like that. So I'm surprised. I thought the business came down from his own dad. I don't know.
We have a lot of regulations and a lot of hoops and a lot of standards, and that just is not the economic climate at this time. So what is important is we need to get it out there to the development community. We're open for business.
Okay. Well, as far as changing the actual regulations involved in making it easier for businesses to come move to Keene, I think that's a great idea. But they're only talking about putting all of the information on one page, creating a community development department. This is aside from the changing the code enforcement to some other name. They're actually talking about creating another department and BART, which is the, I forget what it stands for, who actually a group of individuals, either private or city department, who actually go and handhold new businesses and folks who want to move to Keene, companies, big you know, industries, and to walk them through the process and be friends with them. We talked about this.
We have talked about this.
Take them to the clubs.
Yeah, take them to Valley Green.
Wine and dine them. It sounds like a lot of cronyism to me.
I know this great place on West Street, right next to Hannaford. You're going to love it.
Thankfully, there was one individual, I think he was alone, which he usually is, asked the important question, you know, what did you guys at this committee actually do? And were you actually covering correctly, searching out for the correct solution to the problem?
If I've got a product that costs an awful lot of money, I can't keep telling my customer, well, if I can sell more of these really expensive products, then they'll come down in price. We have a very expensive situation here in Keene because of our taxes. What efforts did the committee focus on trying to cut spending to try to drive the cost of coming here down to try to attract businesses?
I think the goal of the committee was more with an awareness that there's two variables, cutting the spending or increasing the revenue. And increasing the revenue without increasing the taxes means bringing in more industry, more properties paying taxes. So there's an awareness that spending's got to be controlled, but the focus was more bring in more tax-paying entities.
So the focus was more on bringing entities in to a high-cost environment rather than cutting spending to try to lower the cost of environment to attract more businesses.
Well, Counselor, the job of the council is to try to cut the spending.
Oh. Our focus, some of us are trying to do that, but...
I know.
Snip, snap.
There you have it. There are, I'm going to tell you, many, many of the city officials, whether they be elected or paid employees, they believe the solution to our high tax burden is to bring more companies to Keene, and not the easiest solution, which is to lower spending.
It's the meaner one.
Well, no one wants to fire people.
No one wants to fire people. No one wants to not, you know, have the bus running every hour. There's a bus that goes to campus that was right near the campus. Like, it was in walking distance, and it was picking somebody up yesterday.
The last time we talked about this plan, we got it from Rebecca Landry's own little chart that she was reading off, and I went ahead and devised my own of previous years. She said last year, actually it was 2015. Let me change this.
Right.
There we go.
What are we looking at? What's the top of this?
In 2015, in order to have balanced the budget, since I've been here, the budget has gone up, the tax rate has gone up. Now, in 2015, in order to have balanced out that increase of 2.17%, they would have had to introduce into Keene $40 million in development. That would have offset the increase.
Right.
That amounts to four Home Depots.
That could have offset the balance.
It would have offset the balance so that there was no increase in 2015.
They would have increased it anyways, though. Well, from even like what Greenwald was admitting to Sutherland's question, he has no concern at all for the concept of not raising taxes.
I don't think that he does.
So,
considering that he's a property owner with lots of properties, I don't get it. I'm in bizarro land. This affects him, but he thinks that if we bring four or five Home Depots to Keene every year, it would fix the problem.
Maybe it affects him.
But then you got to consider who's going to work there, where are they going to live, and then all the services they're going to require. It's an endless cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, I mean, that was 2015. This year, 2016, Keene's going to have to bring in 5.5 Home Depots
in addition to
offset the tax increase this year.
From the year before.
$61 million. Oh, that's just offset this year.
So we got seven more Home Depots.
If you want to go back to 1990, you know, when the tax rate was real nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking, I didn't go back that far, but
I doubt they could
I think the citywide commitment was about $40 million No, I think it was about $35 million in the mid-90s.
And the commitment column...
And we are up to $64 million right now. We have more than doubled.
Okay, the commitment column here is... What does that mean?
All right, so $64,978,000, so $65 million, mm-hmm. that is city, county, school.
That's what the city has to pay for?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's an increase, that $65 million is an increase of 5.75% from the previous year. Our tax rate right now is 36.39%. It's outrageous. And we are the one footing the bill because we cannot get industry to come here. And by the way, Mayor Lane, always liking to get on the old radio and talk about how there's like $125 million worth of development going on right now.
Well, then sounds like the economic development action plan isn't necessary.
No. Let me finish up.
Okay.
So that would cover the Home Depots. Except guess what? Most of those properties, nonprofit. Hillside Village up north of us, nonprofit.
Ooh.
The library, nonprofit. Yeah. The courthouse, nonprofit. So they're not going to actually be producing taxes anyways.
But he had a big number to say out loud, so...
It's misleading.
Yep.
It's very misleading.
It's a real
So
big
what
number.
I want to know, Mr. Mayor, is how many of those properties, of that $125 million, how many of those properties are actually going to contribute in future years? Hillside Village won't be contributing. It'll be contributing for maybe a year or two. When it's full, they can go nonprofit status. The last time I checked, there's a waiting list. I think it's full.
So as soon
as that development is done, bam, off the tax rolls.
Yikes. They don't know nothing.
No, it's as long as they got you and me, Shauna, to pay for their projects. What's next on the list?
All right, what else did you have?
Hansel, of course, he is a big proponent of this economic development plan. He believes that it'll fix all our problems.
What?
He said something tonight that I think is a really important point that I want to highlight, and that's the fact that this is really going to be a multi-pronged approach, and we need a cohesive strategy that we're all able to move forward with on a consistent basis. I, for one, hope that this report does not end up on a shelf, which you can probably tell by my being very forceful in wanting to move these things forward, because I think every counselor, everybody in Keene, really should be thinking about these issues, and we should have economic development at the front of all of our minds, because it solves a lot of our problems. You know, a lot of things can be helped and aided by promoting Keene, by bringing business to Keene, by promoting economic development. So I hope that we do that.
And it's going to require a whole new city department. You might get some guy to do it a couple of times to help go out and go to job fairs, or not job fairs, but the business fairs,
mm-hmm.
like the One Step Up, and try to promote Keene. You can spend money on like brochures. You can spend money on building a fancy new website that is very business friendly. It shows all the steps and how great it is.
It's going
to
be a government city website, so it's going to be horrible, and it's not really going to say anything.
Yeah, they're actually going to develop a whole new website. It's just you know, right next to the Keene website. This will be their only goal is to be attractive to businesses.
Well, he does have. He's not wrong in spirit. You know, it is good to have more development come to Keene. Businesses moving to Keene is a good thing.
Yeah.
And code enforcement not being known as those crazy jerks is great.
Could be a good thing.
One-stop shop for getting all your bribes paid off and your fees figured out and all that. Not bad in itself. But it goes back to what Sutherland said. Sounds like the only... who pointed out you guys don't have anything in here about lowering taxes, you know, bringing businesses to a high cost environment. It's going to just unravel itself in a few years anyway.
But Greenwald said that wasn't their job, Shauna.
He's on city council.
That's city council's job. Their job was to promote development.
But
even though step three was lower taxes. Because that would actually make Keene attractive to businesses.
Yes, and yet he's a city council member. So when he's like, that's your job, like, well, it's your job too. You don't bring your, you know, why am I not on that committee then? If I don't know anything about city council and what they do, and it's categorically different, mutually exclusive, and he's not bringing his knowledge and experience and gravitas and Robert's rules for Roberts or whatever to his seat on the committee, well, then what is he doing there?
He thinks he has the solution. He thinks he has the solution, and he thinks it's going to work. And
it's impossible to take seriously. Oh, that's city council's job. You are city council, dude.
Here's Giacomo. So I did cut that. You thought I was saying his name wrong. I wasn't. Here he is. Here's Giacomo.
A lot of the ideas that were mentioned kind of towards the end really, really tie very closely together. This includes the marketing outreach, which is either a position or, at the very least, an initiative. And that's going to tie very closely in with the rebranding effort as well. And the rebranding we're discussing is not necessarily strictly a rebranding of the code enforcement, which, again, is kind of an odious term in ways. We want that department to really be something that draws people into the town, not provides them a hurdle to get over to get into the town. And as part of that, hopefully we'll be able to tie all that in together and as such really remake the entire process by which a company would go through to get into the city to begin with. So as they referenced earlier, we're talking about a portal that they can go to in the city site that instantly the first thing they look at is, oh, how do businesses get established in Keene? Why would I move to Keene? And then once you're there, have the process of onboarding be completely streamlined, much more so than it is today. It should not be hoops to jump through, but rather there is either someone or a revised process that can actually hold their hand, guide them through the process to get their feet on the ground in Keene, and hopefully get their foundation for their business on the ground in Keene as well. So these things really all tie together, all those last segments all really connect cohesively, hopefully. And that's really the vision that we had as part of the committee. So,
yep, there you go. Very long video. I definitely recommend watching it. There's a lot more speakers. Mayor spoke. City manager spoke. So anyways, this bill...
He sounded like he was on that committee.
He was.
But he was playing the theater of being the peanut gallery.
I don't know. I don't get it.
That's weird.
This is going to city council next week. It will pass. And the motion is to hand all of those bullet points to the city manager.
Who doesn't exist yet.
To make them happen. And now the mayor is going to create a second committee, development committee, to actually work on more development stuff. But anyway, so the things that are going to go forward are the community development department and what that entails, the website.
The portal.
The team that actually goes out and meets companies. And there were a bunch more. Oh, working on high-speed internet in downtown.
Internet.
Lots of stuff. So it will get passed, and it'll get handed to the city manager, and we'll be hearing about this forever. Sorry, guys.
It's going to unravel if you don't have a...
It's not going to fix the problem. It's not going to fix the problem. It's going to be another line item on the budget. Giacomo was talking about it being an initiative. It's going to become a department, and it's going to cost us. And you might be able to bring a business here or there, and then every time one does that, what might have just come naturally, you're going to, you know, wear it on your cape. You're going to pin it on your cape of the good deeds that you did for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to feel, and you're not going to feel so bad about that tax rate going up every year. Because look what I did. I was able to bring this company in that didn't fix the problem, because you have to bring five Home Depots every year. You can't do that. There is only one solution, that's to stop spending so damn much.
Well, that's the city council's problem.
and by the way, I understand it is not just the city. The school budget is bigger.
Well, the school,
the school budget, we're only paying for, we're paying half of it, but the total school budget is twice what the city is spending. And then you've got the stupid county as well.
Well, you got the stupid county and you got the stupid school budget.
And you had the stupid state not giving us the money back.
Right.
And everyone's like, what are we going to do about it? We're going to whine and complain about it. I have a solution. Just stop sending the money to the state. State, guess what? Hey, no, we're good to go here. We can take care of our own. We're gonna hold on to that money. We're gonna take care of our own employees. That pension plan that you messed up. We're gonna do it ourselves. That would fix the problem.
Temporarily
would be a Band-Aid.
My economic development action plan is a lot faster and a lot more effective to people who made the mistake of already living in Keene.
What's that?
Get rid of paid parking downtown. And with that, you can go on your, private parking, whatever, the store owners deal with it. I just know for a fact that's the one main eyesore and aggravator for customers. You can bring in, super Home Depots to downtown all they want, but if people have to pay to park, it drives people away. So
I do believe that is a good move. I believe making it easy for businesses to move to Keene is a good move.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to.
That's my whole plan.
It's not going to fix the problem. Oh, that's my plan.
That's your
plan?
Get rid of the buses.
I would say stop spending so much time and energy on downtown. Look what's happening up here in North Keene. The development is flourishing.
Yeah, but
and it's good looking buildings too. It's beautiful.
Kind of want them. Maybe if they stay paying attention to downtown, they won't come here and screw it up. it's like keep them busy over there. We already got to deal with their. Oh, I'm not going to look at lowering taxes. That's city council's job, of which I am a member. Let them deal with that down there.
Well, North Keene
up here is just fine.
North Keene, if you want to get with me and start a secession movement to branch off from Keene, become North Keene, or I don't know what the name
or
would be.
Just a neighborhood.
We can group or a neighborhood group. So we got Maple Acres here. A listener to the show, Joe, called last week, and he was like, "Why don't you start a neighborhood group?"
Neighborhood association or something.
Yeah, and we are Maple Acres, so it would be the Maple Acres Neighborhood Association. Mana, however you like to say it. If anyone's interested who lives in the area and wants to do it, I would be interested in starting in name only. I don't know what we would do. I mean, work on our little park. If you want,
I don't know.
Add some stuff to it. Do litter pickup. Neighborhood watch. I would be happy with doing something like that. But no, ultimately, I would be interested in actually branching, getting away from. The city, keeping our money here in our neighborhood. There's enough of us here. We could buy Jonathan Daniels and we'd turn that into a
schoolhouse.
K through 12 schoolhouse. All the kids in the neighborhood could go there. We'd save a lot of money. We would save a lot of money.
That would take up free time. That's for sure.
Well, I'm not saying I'm doing it, but I would be happy to pay into it.
Yeah, if there's a schoolhouse.
I could teach pottery.
You could teach pottery.
Teach you guys how to do sculptures. You want to talk about the transgender bill that got tabled or the letter of tolerance? Let's talk about the letter of tolerance.
Let's do the letter of tolerance.
So, Mayor was talking two months back about some bigotry that went on downtown. I don't think we talked about it, but there were two swastikas burned into Keene State dorms somewhere.
One was on the bathroom at sitting down level in marker.
And like, that's something you don't see in every public bathroom that you've ever been in or a porta potty.
Never seen it before in my life.
Yeah, you haven't? So he said that, the King was going to do something about it. And when he said King, he meant city officials. And, they're getting closer and closer to, I don't know, maybe writing up an ordinance or a resolution, involving how to deal with, potential racism and or bigotry and what to do about it. This was an article in the Keene Sentinel. Turns out that a bunch of Keene leaders, you like that? Sign a letter against intolerance and bigotry. 9 Keene community leaders have signed a letter making it clear they won't tolerate racial and ethnic harassment in the city and beyond. The letter, which was addressed to the community, originated from a group of people who have been meeting for coffee in recent months to discuss some recent discrimination incidents in the city, 3 of them. 2 of them were the swastika, and 1 of them was a supposed slur that was thrown at a passerby on Antioch.
Which honestly could have been anything at anybody.
No one's saying anything about anything. All we know is are in woohoos and showings. All we know is that the police were involved.
Oh, I guess.
We didn't get that?
I didn't get that at first.
Hold on.
Showings!
And for some people, that's harassment, and that's terrifying. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
just don't pull over, turn around.
The fact that all 3 of these incidents came from the colleges, I think really speaks very loud to what is really going on. And they're safe spaces, and you can't have an altering opinion and bigotry and racism, which, by the way, just because here we are going in such a direction that people probably trying to figure out where we're coming from. We here at Citizen Kane, I do not tolerate racism. And if I see it, I'll call it out. Do I believe that we need to create special city ordinances in order to do combat with it? No, I think it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is the actual letter. Do you see anything in there you want to read? The actual letter is over at the
petition site.
Why is it there?
I don't know. It went through so many portals to get there.
I guess they want people to sign it. And so there were 9 people who signed it in Keene, and that number should be growing because it's at, where is it at? I'm changing a page.
All right.
Where is it at? The community letter is available to sign at the Cohen Center for Holocaust and Genocide Studies in Keene State College's Mason Library.
Or SAU 29 on Maple Ave, or the Historical Society of Cheshire County on Main Street. This is about speaking out, said Mayor Kendall Lane, who signed the letter. We need to make the community understand how we feel. How we feel. And generally, we believe the community feels that both race-based and sexual harassment is not acceptable and not things we can tolerate. I think they quoted him wrong, or he just spoke wrong.
Let me read what Costa had to say about this.
Okay. Where is what Costa?
All right, so Costa, and by the way, rest in peace, passed away last week. But he was involved. He did sign this. He said the goal of the letter is to show that the community won't tolerate racism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and other forms of hate against people, and to encourage anyone who has experienced such incidents to report them to law enforcement. Okay, if someone throws a brick through your window, report it to law enforcement. If someone punches you in the gut, report it to law enforcement. If you run across a racist, what is he actually suggesting? He's suggesting a thought crime. He's suggesting you don't have the freedom of speech to be a bigot.
If you want somebody to have a criminal record of reports against them, say you called me this, or this person said that.
Or if you're an insecure college kid and you want to increase your minority status, say something happened that really didn't happen, or blow it out of proportion,
a dumb slur by some dumb person or somebody who just said something that was offensive. I mean, the political discourse has gotten really quick and to the point. People are just cutting to the chase.
Oh, this is all nowadays. This has all been brought up because of some big fat orange dude with small hands who's running. Who's president of the?
I'm so scared.
President of the country. Costa further said, for us at the police department, this is a no-brainer. We cling very tightly to our mission statement, protect life and property. Okay, I like those. And maintain order in the city. I like that too. While ensuring fair and respectful treatment of everybody.
Can't do that.
Again, I mean, that's not your job. You're not the...
It kind of leads...
You're not the PC police. You're the police. You're the peace officers.
It kind of leads into the others, or it flows from the others. Protection of life and property, maintenance of order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is... Like, the story I told you a few episodes ago about the purse that somebody left on top of their car, and they're like, yeah, we just left that there. We're coming right out in, you know, 20 minutes or something. This is a high-trust society, and... In a high trust society, at least relative to where I've lived before, you have fair treatment and respect of everybody. So it kind of seems tautological where, you know, he's like, well, he's the police. He was the police chief. So, yeah, he's going to say, if something happens, report it. If something doesn't happen, please don't report it. Except that he's not saying that. He's just saying, if something happens, report it.
Well, that's job security for all his officers.
Well, they weren't, you know, facing job loss or anything. So it screams what has actually happened. Like, it makes me want to know what happened to that incident. If somebody had just said, oh, this happened and it's so terrible, like, well, what are the details?
Well,
we don't get any of that. We just get, this is true.
No, because it's dirty, and it would upset us. It would upset the sensitive minds out there. No, this is just grandstanding. This is just politicians trying to prove that they care, that they're progressive, that they care about the folks, and that they're actually doing something. That's what this really boils down to.
And that they are on the in-group side.
And the right side of history.
They're on the right side of history, and they are affected the way everybody else says they are by the election. It really, for so many years...
You think this is a political stunt to prove how they stand politically?
Honest to God, I think they really believe that this is a genuine thing.
That Keene is gonna burst into flames if this doesn't get solved.
No, that, you know, they just want to reassure and talk down to everybody that this won't be tolerated and everything. And for the most part, I mean, people out here in Keene are pretty, they can be crude and say racist things, but they don't, I mean, it's all just been words. And not, you know, about people of my race or ethnicity or national origin or anything, but about other people.
Mm-hmm.
People who, as a percentage of the population, aren't really here. But it's never been like in a mean... It's just they say things, but they're, you know, not, they don't act on it.
Correct. They're just being tribal.
Yeah.
Like their ancestors, but not actually going out with the clubs and beating down their opponents.
And for years, I would say even like at least the second, no, I'm going to just go back in time forever. For so many years, longer than I've been alive, the way that people... Dumb slaves like us, who are, you know, nationally nobodies. The way that anybody gets to participate onto the national stage at like a political level has been, one of the big ways to do it has been to be oppressed in some way. Has been to, you know, say that you've been harassed in some way, either sexual or racial or ethnic or something.
And you get the spotlight.
And when you're...
Get the 5 minutes.
And... With the economic wasteland of Keene, you can't get a job. You could start a family that's probably going to get nuked by one side in a few years. You can't afford to live here. You can't really grow up and start a life on your own. And pretty much all that, you know, they have is to participate in the national conversation and national politics is to... fall into focusing on this stuff. So I think a lot of what people are saying is happening is hysteria, because this is how you become special, how you matter to the world, to your Facebook wall. And that's all I got.
I agree. The Keene State has developed a teaching programs to deal with this. If something was to happen, if the race riots were to happen in Keene tomorrow, I don't know they would know how to deal with it.
I don't think even the people participating in the race riots in Keene would know how to deal with it.
In his remarks to the city council, Lane said he plans to draft a resolution on behalf of the council against race-based and ethnic harassment. That resolution is being drafted, and he expects it will be before city council at its meeting next Thursday, he said. I don't know what that resolution will entail, like I said. I don't know if it's going to be an ordinance. It's probably just going to be a letter, and the city is going to recommend that it be informational.
And it's going to be part of the brochure about why businesses should move to Keene.
Yes, we look how fast we stamped this out. Look how progressive
and it's not going to do anything.
Forward thinking than we are. No, it's just
anybody who would actually be affected by this, who would be like, I'm going to yell something at this chick walking down the street because she looks a different race than I expect her to be. They're not following along what city council's doing.
By the way,
they probably are on a first name basis with police, but they're not following along who's signing some letter saying they're bad people. They're already, you know.
Microaggressions was the word I was looking for earlier, where someone just gets from the smallest things and they're off. They're triggered. People grow up, man. People think things and they say things, and if they're not actually hurting you, grow up, man. Get over it. Sean, we got to go.
All right.
Guys, thanks so much for watching. Check out this video and all 28 videos and other things, too, at CitizenKane.org. That's the Facebook page as well, CitizenKane.org. I put articles there every single week. Kind of gives me an idea what you guys want to hear talked about on the show. If someone gets a bunch of likes on this particular article, that's probably where I'm going to go. You can call that number anytime during the week, 267-521-2771. Leave a message if you would like. My email address is show@blacksheep.
What's your email?
show@citizenkane.org. Wow, 29 episodes in. I hadn't done that one time.
Not once.
That was the first time. You can reach Shauna. She is at cherish@citizenkane.org. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We will see you again next week at the same time. Good night.
Swing!